ערב טוב רבותיי, תזכו לשם רבות, tonight is זך בניסן, נשתבח שמו ברוך השם, everybody should have a קיץ בריא ומועיל ופורה, a wonderful זמן. I just wanted to start off this man with some דברי הלכה that have to do with ספירת העומר, with the ימי הספירת העומר. There's two components really, there's the הלכות of ספירה, and then there's the history of the תקופה of ספירת העומר. So there's a lot of literature on that. If you look in the beginning of Siman Tav Tzadigim al Shulchan Aruch, he speaks about what happened there. Chazak Baruch. Oh, the Tiferet. I have to show you something. Remind me to show you something about Tiferet Chelek He. At the end. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nihyah Medvaro.
Amen.
So anyway, watch this. Everybody knows there's a famous Gemara, Masechet Yevamot, Daf Samach Bet Amud Bet. The Gemara says, 12,000 זוגים תלמידים היו לו לרבי עקיבא, וכולן מתו מפסח ועד עצרת. Now, רבי עקיבא, there's a few different פירושים. Why the Gemara refers to the 24,000 students of רבי עקיבא as 12,000 pairs, but that's a different story. They all died from פסח until עצרת, until שבועות. והיה העולם שמם, the entire world was desolate and devoid of Torah, עד שבא רבי עקיבא אצל רבותינו שבדרום, until Rabbi Akiva came to the Tanaim, his five new Talmidim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yose, Rabbi Elazar, and most famously, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He took them on as Talmidim, and from there, Torah flourished once again in the world. This is the period of time where we mourn, lament the death of the 24,000 students, even though, you know, there's many, many mass casualty events in Jewish history. So why is it that we davka, we don't always make a period of mourning for that, even though it's tragic? Why davka this one? Because like the Gemara tells us, v'haya olam shamim. This incident had the potential of ridding the entire world of Torah. If it weren't for Rabbi Akiva restarting with the five Talmidim from who the Torah spread, the Torah would have been lost completely. And not only that, here's the thing. Imagine all the Torah that we have today is from the five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. He transferred his Torah over to those five Talmidim. And look how much Torah and Yeshivot and Talmid Chachamim and Kolelim that we have today. Nachon? That's from five Talmidim. Now imagine if instead of having five Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva would have had his original 24,000. Imagine what the world would look like from a Torah perspective today. Maybe it would have been like the generation of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, like the Gemara says, בדקו מידן ואת באר שבע ולא מצאו תינוק ותינוקת שלא בקין בנגעים ועולות. Like in the times of חזקיהו המלך, there was no such thing as עמי הארץ. Everybody was תלמידי חכמים. Can you imagine a world devoid of עמי הארץ? Everybody תלמידי חכמים. Everybody's a ש"סיד. You open, everybody knows, everybody talking and learning. Can you imagine? The world might have been like that, would Rabbi Akiva's students have remained alive. Yeah.
How is there only one yeshiva in the world? There was nowhere else that had any Torah?
Not necessarily, but that was the epicenter. That was the epicenter of the world, and the void that their passing left was felt throughout the world. So much so the Gemara says, Mamash, V'haya Olam Shamim. Yeah. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Ba'al Anis. Rabbi Yehuda, which is Stam Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Rabbi Yose Ben Chalafta. Then you have Rabbi Elazar Ben Shamua. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They're all, yeah.
No. One yeshiva that they had part of the two yeshivot that collaborated during the era of Gaonim?
No, this was way before the Gaonim.
Right.
The Gaonim was after the Chatimat HaTalmud.
Right.
This is the Tkufav Tanaim.
Right, but I was just curious if that one yeshiva lasted that long, and its neighbor of the Gaonim with the Rav Sanya Gaon.
Could be, I'm not sure. Yeah, go ahead.
It's kind of like a cosmic questioning kind of thing. What if Rav Akiva does put it to acquire 24,000 students
from 24
years
in
yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they all that? Like,
well, the Gemara tells
us. From his perspective, Hashem made him lose 24,000 students.
Yeah, so there's a lot of shmuz and a lot of sichot musar that are given on this. The Gemara says very clearly why they died. There's a lot of mefarshim explaining what this statement in the Gemara is. The Gemara says, "V'chulam metu mipnei shelo nahagu kavod ze baze." They did not show respect to one another, which is a very broad statement which can be understood in many different ways. Maharsha explains one way, Ben Yoyada explains another, but on some level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, considered them to be deficient in their derech eretz towards one another. Now, from Rabbi Akiva's perspective, can you imagine if you divide 24,000, now they died, there's a machloket, if they died in 33 or 34 days, it's an average of about 700 levayot a day. Rabbi Akiva has to, now Talmidim are like children. So can you imagine a Rebbe or Bar Minan, a father, has to attend 700 levayot a day for 34 days? That can break even the strongest among us. The Gvura, look at how powerful Rabbi Akiva was. Look how much Gvura he had. This week we're celebrating Tzfirat HaOmer. This week is Midat HaGvura. Echon? Tonight, huh? Oh, Yefem. Oh, we're getting ready. Yefem. You do art also? No? Yefem Shrecha. Yeah. I like art. My grandmother was an artist. Anyway, but tonight is Hoche B'Gvura, Echon? Because tonight is the fifth day of the Midav of Gvura. So Gvura, if you look in Tomer Devora, he says Gvura has to be used very sparingly. It's very powerful, and sometimes too powerful of a Midah that can be used inappropriately. You have to mitigate it, but when it is used, look at the Gvura of Rabbi Akiva. He put all of that aside instead of getting broken and, you know, in despair and yeush and depression. What did he do? He shook himself off. He says, whatever was, the Torah must go on. You know how the Goyim say the show must go on? The Torah must go on. He got up, he found his five Talmidim, and he started teaching again. And everything we have in the world, Torah-wise, is from that. Rabotai, listen carefully. There's a nosach brought down by several Rishonim, Ra'avan, and others. He says, the Bet Yosef actually brings this down in the beginning of Siman Tav Tzadi Gimal. The Gemara, according to one Girsan, the Gemara, v'chulam metu mipesach ve'ad peros atzeret. They died from Pesach until pros of atzeret. Okay, interesting. Pros, in general, in the Gemara, pras, kede achilat pras. What does pras mean? No.
Time.
Pras means half. You know, shon prusa. So, according to kede achilat pras means the amount of time that it takes to eat half of a loaf of bread. Now the loaf is a machloket, how big the loaf was between the Rashi and the Ramban, three kabitzim, was it six kabitzim or eight kabitzim, therefore making half, three or four. Now listen carefully. So they died, the Gemara tells us, according to this Girsa, from Pesach until half of Atzeret, half of Shavuot. What's half of Shavuot? What's half of Shavuot? So the answer to that is, says the Bet Yosef, half of Shavuot, every holiday, like we spoke about before Pesach, when do we consider the days of the Chag to begin? 30 days before the Chag. So now, when do we consider the holiday of Shavuot almost upon us? Within 30 days. So when the Gemara says, according to that Girsa, half, prosa, atzeret, half of Shavuot, what's that talking about? 15 days. So now let's do the math. According to this, they died from Pesach until 15 days before Shavuot. Now, let's make the cheshbon. If you take from Pesach to Atzeret, is how many days? 49. Minus 15?
34.
Therefore, according to this, says Manan Bet Yosef, they died from the beginning of the Omer, from the second day of Pesach, until the 34th day of the Omer. Now, Manan, like by all other Hilchot Avelut, we hold Miktzat Hayom Kekulo. That's why we do not observe the entire 34th day of the Omer in Avelut, and we already allow it from the 34th day. Berama, famously, disagrees with Maran on two counts. Number one, he says they didn't die for 34 days, they died for 33 days. And he learns that from, he has a different cheshbon, and that's number one machloket that he has with him. Therefore, according to the Rama, instead of becoming mutar and everything, all the things that we customarily abstain from during the period of Sfirat HaOmer, haircuts, weddings, music, all of these things, that's, according to Maran, it's until Lamedalet Baboker. Yeah, until the morning of Lamedalet, say, Miktzat Hayom Kekulo. According to the Rama, it's until the 33rd of the morning. Some say even from the night of the 33rd for certain things, the Mishnah Berurah brings down. Let's put that aside for a second. That's one machloket. Another machloket is, the Rama says, this is not the only cheshbon, this is not the only calculation of how to observe the Minhag Sfirah. According to Maran Bet Yosef, there's only one. You ever heard the, by Ashkenazim, they talk about first sphere, second sphere. You ever heard that? By Maran, there's no first and second. There's one sphere. From beginning Sfirat HaOmer, second night of Pesach, until the 34th day of the Omer, Shalom. Zil. According to the Rama, different minhagim. It's up to the minhag of your place. Let's break it down. I'm going to read it to you. And then there's a very fascinating Bi'ur Alacha who brings down from the Gra. There's even a third Shita. Now watch. Listen. Who wrote in this? This is Ma'or. I thought it was the Yeshivas. Oh, Ashrecha. Now. Sometimes, Mechila, I thought it was the Yeshivas. And I get crazy when people write in public Sfarim. Sometimes I go nuts. Is it, oh, you shouldn't do, even if there's a mistake. By the way, even if there's a typo and it's a public sefer, you write in pencil. Always, it's not your sefer. So you write in pencil, something that can be erased. Somebody make an X. Even the Bach, Marshal, Ginyan Hashas, when they had tremendous hagaot in the Gemara and even typos and stuff like that, you know, when was the last time you saw a cross out in the Gemara? Doesn't happen.
It's always parentheses.
Yeah, it's a parenthesis, it's in the gilyon, it's in the margin. Right. You don't cross out anything. Why? Because once you start, that's how reform started. They started crossing stuff out. Don't cross anything out. Put it on the side. You have a question, you have a comment, you have a typo that you found, you put it on the side. That's number one. And even if it's a public sefer, you don't write, it's chashash gezem. You don't write in pen. You write in pencil, mashu katan. And sometimes, I remember in yeshiva, sometimes even when people write in pencil, they start writing a whole megillah. Mata kotev megillah. Yeah, say tzarich lomar kach vel shalom zel maspeak, or say zetaut. You know, what do you have to write a whole megillah? Write in your sefer, you write a megillah. Mata kotev. It's not your sefer.
Did I cross
something out? No. You just added something. No, you didn't cross anything. Yeah. Don't write in the sefer. And then if you really want to make a change, you really want to make a difference, what do you do? As I've done, find the publisher, find the author, whatever it is. Tell them there's a ta'ut, povepo, whatever. Have a discussion so that when they reprint it, they can reprint it with the correction, and maybe they'll have a karat tov and they'll put your name in gamkin. Lama lo? Yeah? Now, ala. Nachon mo? Kach yasu? Now, he says, Maran says very clearly, based on what I told him, Bet Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, then it reads like a breeze. He writes like this. Noagim shelo lisa isha ben pesach la'atzeret, Ad lag la'omer. Now, mipnei shebeoto zman. Now, like we said before, even though Maran says ad lag ba'omer, really, if you look in Bet Yosef, he really means to extend it until lad baboker. Which, why does it say lag? The last full day of minhagei avelut, according to Maran Bet Yosef, is when lag, because lad in the morning is already mutar and all the things, because miktzat yom kikulo. That's why Maran, even though he holds that it extends to lad, he says lag because that's the last full day. Which we don't do erusin, we don't do kiddushin. In modern Hebrew, erusin is engagement. That's not what it means. Bilshon Chazal and bilshon Halacha. Erusin means kiddushin. Nowadays, we don't separate between kiddushin and nisuin anymore. Why not? There's a Rabbi Moshe Mizrahi who was the. Listen to this. Very interesting that you ask. He was the Rishon Letzion approximately 400 years ago. One of the, Rishonim Letzion. Rishon Letzion, people think that it has to do with the chief rabbi of Israel. Rishon Letzion was around 400, at least 400 to 500 years before the establishment of the modern state of Israel. Let's get something straight. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. Now, in Shut Mizbach Adama, he writes that there was a chirim that Rabbanei Yerushalayim made approximately 400 years ago that had a problem. What was going on? They had this thing where people used to, in the times of the Gemara, you already see if you ever learned Masechet Ketubot, you see Masechet Yevamot, Kiddushin, all over the place. They didn't used to do Kiddushin and Nisuin back to back. Kiddushin is just Maase Kiddushin. Then they would have Nisuin, the Chuppah, and the party and everything. When would they do that? About a year later, to give the guy a chance to prepare the Seuda, the Kala a chance to prepare her, her dress and her jewelry and stuff. It took about a year or so, and there would be Kove Azman. The Gemara says, what would happen if they were Kove Azman and one of the parties isn't ready? Efuze. Ktubot, daf, betamud alef, betamud bet. Yeah, first Gemara, ktubot. Anyway, mikol makom. So, what the tzochek? Tzach ladaat. Yeah, I told you this before last, you remember? Before Pesach, I said, when you learn something, don't, you learn it, own it. Don't just learn it. Huh?
They don't like it too last time.
Mamash kacha, because Hashem's gonna. Hashem is going to ask. Learn this like it's mamash, like the Sha'aret Teshuvah says. Perform every mitzvah like it's your last one. Every divrei Torah that you learn, every daf, every mitzvah, treat it like it's your last, because you never know. Bar minan, you should never know mitzvot. People don't wake up in the morning. Nobody has any guarantees. Treat every mitzvah and every limud that you have as if it's your last. How do you want it to look? This is going to be your legacy. How do you want it to look? It's a big musar. It's a big musar. Mikol makom. So there's a problem over there. Mizbach Adama said, Rabbani Yerushalayim, they used to separate between Kiddushin Nisuin. What happened was that sometimes, at the end of the year, the guy says, you know what? I'm not interested in continuing with this. I don't want to do the Nisuin. Now again, it's not just an engagement that you can break. Kiddushin is Eshet Ish. So she needs a get. So now what? He gives her a get. Zil, tenchi l'shalom. But now as a result of that, what's her status l'keuna? She's a surah l'keuna. Now even though she's grusha mina erusin, she's still a surah l'keuna la'olam. And it apparently became a pretty big problem. Chachmei Yerushalayim said no more of that. Now, we don't separate anymore between Kiddushin and Nisuin. You can't prevent divorces, but at least let them live together a little bit so that you don't just throw her away before there's even Nisuin Zarefe. Therefore, there's a chirim. Michachmei HaKadmonim, Maran Zechon Chai used to say, we don't separate anymore at all. We do it mamash, same time, same place. Right under the chupa, Kiddushin, Kriyat HaKetubah, Nisuin right away. Kacha osin. That's the reason why they don't do that anymore. So Maran writes that to do Kiddushin would be mutar, but he was talking about in his days where they used to do it separately. Now, so that's why there's no weddings at all during the, besides for Ashkenazim, which we'll get to. Yeah.
That's exactly what I wanted to I thought that the chuppah room, as the Ashkenazim call it, which these Kohanim don't even do, was brought down in the Aruch HaShulchan party. Right. We don't even do it.
As a siman. The Siman Nun He, yeah, yafe. Aruch HaShulchan and Evin Aizah Siman Nun He brings it down. It's also, if you want to look for future reference about what Maoris Tomer, Omer Dvarim Yafim, if you look in Yabi Omer, Chelek He, Yored De'a, Siman Chet, over there he talks about Yichud Rum for Sfaradim, Saken Shama. Okay, Mekol Makom. Let me finish, yeah, go ahead.
So I thought that, like, isn't that considered Nisun?
It could be considered Nisun, yeah, because it's Yehud. According to the Rambam and Maran, the chupa, as we call it, refers to Yehud. So that the Yehudrum could be a Yehud, which causes many problems in terms of covering the hair and stuff like that. But
so, according to us, Faradim, where we don't have that Yehudrum, so where do we, like...
when they go home.
Right, they go home, but there will still be a break in between.
Yeah, so again, that's addressed in the tshuva. It doesn't have to be exactly the same place, but it's the same night. The point is they go straight from the chuppah and then they go home afterwards.
So yeah. It's not the same place, same time. It wasn't necessarily a dafka, same place. It was just like same apartment.
Nahon. Yeah, go ahead.
Practical
yeah.
In a Sephardi, such as myself, go to a friend's, Ashkenaz friend's wedding very
now. Yafe. So we didn't really finish the discussion, but it's a good question because yes, as you know, there are different minhagim about Sfirat HaOmer. Many Ashkenazim didn't start observing the minhagi HaSfirah until after Rosh Chodesh, nechon? So there's actually machloket. The Chatam Sofer, a very interesting machloket. What happens if we're Sfaradim now? We don't listen to music, no haircuts, no shaving, garnish, nechon? Tomorrow, Be'ezat Hashem, will speak about shaving this coming Friday. Ooh, Zevar Gadol, right? It's a big thing. Yeah, everybody jumps on the bandwagon. Kulam, but, you know, everybody becomes Ashkenazi this coming. I'm going to talk about it. Be'ezat Hashem. Every Erev Shabbat, nachon, that's something else. But, okay, other poskim don't necessarily. Oh, I'm saying that. Yeah. Yeah. But listen carefully. We're observing Sfirat HaOmer now with the Minhag Avilut. Some Ashkenazim didn't start until after Rosh Chodesh. That's their Minhag. If they're still holding weddings now, the Shaila is if we're invited, can you go? According to Chatam Sofer, you can't because it's Asu. It's a transgression of your thing. There are many, many poskim that disagree. And we hold, Agon Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this in Igrot Moshe, and he is mekel. He holds that as long as it is mutar for the Baal HaSimcha, for the one who's making the wedding, according to his minhag to do it, tfadda, you can go, v'chin halacha. We hold, like, because especially these matters, this is only avelut shel minhag, of yirshum inna hakim. And we go with the most lenient shita, l'halacha, you are allowed to attend, even with... even with music and dancing, because it's Simchat Chatan Vekala, they're doing the Be'etir, then it starts getting a little complicated. But then I have to shave. I can't go to a wedding without shaving. I said, why can't you go to a wedding without shaving, Makara? He says, no, it's going to hurt the Chatan Vekala. You've heard that? It's going to bother the Chatan. No, no, the chilak, it's going to hurt the chatan v'kala. What do you think? They care about you? They care about your face? Machpat lecha. You come, you don't come. Your face is shaved. It's not shaved. They don't care. Ma pitom. If the chasan doesn't shave, that's a different story. If you're the chatan, we'll talk. But if you're not, machpat li. No. So if you go to a wedding, you can't shave. Nachon. I can't go without shaving. Okay, so deal with it. Matase. Now, that's with regards to that. I didn't get to tonight because we have to go to Maariv. I have about 13 seconds left until Maariv before we get to Berachu. But remind me tomorrow, Bezat Hashem, by lunch, we'll do the Biur Halacha, and then we'll try to touch on the subject of Erev Shabbat, Shechal Lihiot, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. We'll speak about that, Bezat Hashem. Welcome back, everybody.